pops up again and again, especially when the town gossip wants to carry out her daily duty but pretending to justify herself thereby. No smoke without fire, I say, she will say, when she looks at a young woman who's glancing at an older gentleman, or on and on. Now, many times within the history genre, this expression is meant to avert or cast suspicion elsewhere upon some fictional character or another. But today, the epistle lesson has a sort of two-edged sword, if you will. We see at the beginning of today's epistle lesson the reality that God in Christ judges mankind. You were by nature children of wrath. You are sinful by nature. And to speak the truth according to the Word of God, inside of every one of us, there's a pain just waiting to get at evil. But at the end of the epistle, we hear a different kind of sword speak. And that word is a word which we will call the gospel word. In the beginning, we see, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, you were by nature, the apostle concludes, children of wrath. No smoke without fire, I say. You see, this text condemns everyone and anyone who would come before God on their own merits. These efforts are always inadequate. And looking around this gathering today, from God's perspective, there is plenty of smoke. Yet at the end of this epistle, there is found that you were created for good works. How can you make sense of these two pronouncements? You are by nature children of wrath. God has made you alive for good works. Today we explore this biblical concept under the Holy Spirit's guidance. The phrase, no smoke without fire, I say. You are, by nature, a sinner that stands condemned under the wrath of God. You are a sinner whom God, in His mercy, has declared righteous. Which is it? The answer, of course, is yes. You are both. Consider this charge that you at once conducted yourselves in the lust of your flesh. Maybe that was yesterday. Maybe it will be this afternoon. You fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. No smoke without a fire, I say. So how can you change your life so that you do the works God has prepared for you to do? Well, some suggest good intentions. It's where it's at. If you go to a local bookstore, if you can find one today, many of them seem to be disappearing rapidly, you will usually find a section called self-help. And there, not only will you find how to become a better person, but all sorts of sort of pop psychobabble about how you can pull yourself up by the bootstraps and become a better person. All you need are good intentions, or a quick course in changing your lifestyle. But the gospel speaks to us God before one can come into the presence of God, or to put it another way, faith is all about. When one reads this gospel carefully, the Word of God draws you to the conclusion that this man knows that faith and trust in God is his only hope for forgiveness, for righteousness, for mercy. And then the Word of God teaches him to study about himself what the Word of God says about him, that he is a sinner. And in that same faith breath, the Word of God teaches him to say about God that in Christ Jesus there is a Savior for sin. God must first let his Word, that is, his Son Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, sound in your hearts so that you learn to know and to love and to believe what he says, both about you and about himself. And after you know who he is by faith, you will fear, you will love, you will trust him above all things. Oh, yes, in this life I am well aware that you are still besettled with the old original sin that clings and would in a moment's notice lead you astray. And that is why, again and again, you need to be where that Word of God is. Not only here in the divine service, but in Bible study and in personal devotion. For them, faith reveals itself through the works. Now let us see how the good works of this tax collector begin. I suggest that beginning the humblest of way, he begins according to the text with lowered eyes and a beating upon the breast, and then words that say what God has taught him to say, I am a sinner. The cry of faith, God be merciful to me, a sinner, follows. For he is on the road that God has laid before him, and through faith before God, his works to his neighbor serve as proof that faith is living. In the temple, he gives God the glory to him, and by faith repays him with praise. Zacchaeus is another example of that, another tax collector, by the way, who, when the Lord visited his house, cried out, if I have wronged anyone, I will repay him fourfold. Then at the temple, this publican, this tax collector, gives God the glory to him, and then responds in faith. Faith that is active in works toward his neighbor. And thus he performs the duty of love and puts words into his mouth, and God teaches him how to pray. All debts, therefore, are paid toward God and man. And faith urges this tax collector to do it without requiring anything from God as a reward.